Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
12:04 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show. Hello, hello. Well, we've got a whole bunch of new evidence, a new timeline in what happened, the massacre in Las Vegas. We've got that story coming up, as well as a number of different stories, including how is it that we could be contributing to North Korea's nuclear program. That story, a fascinating story, coming up as well. And the Carolina Panthers' Cam Newton apparently has really stepped into it. Some sort of a sexist remark. I've got that as well. I think what's funnier than what Cam Newton said to this female reporter are some of the tweets that are being sent out from some of his NFL buddies there on social media. So I've got a bunch of stories to get to today. Let's get right to it. Of course, you heard the press conference yesterday talking about Stephen Paddock, the new timeline, new evidence. It doesn't really seem, though, like we have any new answers. Now, one of the big questions, why did police not go into the room well until after they had arrived, has been answered. Well, because the shooting essentially had stopped. You know, Michael spent a good amount of time this morning talking about all of the conspiracy theories out there. And a lot of folks are also criticizing the police. I would say this. The police realized, the SWAT teams realized the shooting had stopped. And so what they decided to do, instead of going into the room, they cleared the entire floor. The shooting began at 10:05. At 11:20 p.m., the SWAT teams finally blew the door open and they found Stephen Paddock dead. But that was one of the big questions that police are answering. They also are saying, you know, still, that he just snapped. Now, this is what I don't understand, and I know we are, what, day five into this thing now? But this is a guy who's been collecting and storing guns and ammo for quite some time. So on the one hand, you've got the sheriff that is saying, well, no, he's been buying guns for years. He's had this whole other lifestyle, and he's been doing this for years. And so if that is the case, which I believe it is, well, then he didn't just snap. He's been collecting all of these guns for a long time, and it's also very clear that this was something that was well thought out. The other question, was this politically motivated? Some say yes, some say no, some say it's any number of different motivations. We still don't know officially what motivated this guy. We do know that he booked hotel rooms overlooking Lollapalooza in Chicago. And just so you know, that is music by The Killers and Muse, among others. President Obama's daughter was also at that Lollapalooza show in Chicago. So there could have been any number of things that could have happened there at Lollapalooza. He decided not to. As a matter of fact, I don't think he even showed up at that concert in Chicago. But he did have a room, at least one, overlooking Lollapalooza in Chicago. And again, President Obama's daughter was there, but clearly nothing happened. He also attempted to book a room at the Ogden overlooking the Life is Beautiful open-air festival in Las Vegas from September 22nd to the 24th, but apparently couldn't get a room there overlooking the festival, so he moved on. Sheriff Lombardo also says that Paddock spent decades acquiring weapons and ammo, and yes, indeed, lived a secret life, and we will never really understand what exactly it is that Stephen Paddock was doing when he decided, or what he was inspired by when he decided to kill all those people. One of the biggest questions is, was there an accomplice? And the sheriff says yes. They don't know who, but the sheriff does say that Paddock had so much firepower in his room and in his car and in his homes that clearly there was an accomplice. Now, I would counter the sheriff by saying, on the one hand, the sheriff is saying, well, he had to have had an accomplice. Look at all the firepower that he had. And I do understand that, but this is a guy who spent years accumulating all of this weaponry. So I don't know if there was an accomplice or not. Who knows? Paddock clearly, though, to me, was not on a suicide mission. Sheriff Lombardo said that Paddock wanted to escape. He says there was no suicide note. There was a piece of paper. We don't know what was on that piece of paper, but there was some sort of a note or something apparently left. He also left a bunch of cameras in the room so he would know when police were approaching. He also had an escape plan, but realistically, he wouldn't be able to pull off an escape, at least according to the sheriff. They're also checking into the possibility that something triggered a mental issue around that time that caused him to buy the guns. But again, he's been buying the guns for a long time. Paddock's car had like 50 pounds of explosives and 1,600 pounds of ammunition. So the more we find out about Stephen Paddock, the more this guy clearly, he had something that he wanted to do, and that was take out as many innocent people as possible. What everybody's trying to figure out, again, what was the motivation? Paddock tried to hit the jet fuel tanks that were right next to the concert venue, and he did hit them, but luckily they didn't pierce the metal. So this guy had a lot more carnage on his mind than what ultimately happened. Everybody's talking about how he was on meds, but to me, and I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, but the fact that Stephen Paddock was on meds doesn't necessarily tell us a whole heck of a lot because millions of people are on meds. Finally, they got Mary Lou Danley. She's not necessarily, quote unquote, in custody, but she is cooperating with the police. And the question is, what did she know? And is she an accomplice? The girlfriend of Stephen Paddock says she is cooperating. And of course, she's saying what anybody would say in that situation, which is she never thought that he would hurt anybody. She never saw any propensity towards violence. But we also know that there are witnesses in the Starbucks there in Las Vegas. And they say that this guy, Stephen Paddock, was very domineering towards Mary Lou Danley. So there's a lot of questions here that need to be answered. We still don't have a lot of answers to all of the things that people want to know. Ultimately, why did Stephen Paddock do what he did? And one of the things that people, I think, are looking at, and one of the reasons why, and I talked about this yesterday, there are so many different theories out there, conspiracy and otherwise, is because the police, perhaps they may not be giving us all of the information that they know. And listen, this is an active investigation. And if they do think that there was an accomplice, well, then they're not going to give us all of the information. And that makes perfect sense. But see, the problem is right now we have, and I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens and dozens of emails I'm getting, and they have links, they have videos, they have theories. And I almost want to say, and I love you folks, I really do, but I'm not buying into the conspiracy theories. Yeah, but don't you see the bullets coming off of the fourth floor, not the 32nd? That video could very easily have been faked. In other words, I'm not buying into the conspiracy theories. I'm simply not. Law enforcement will figure out what it was that Stephen Paddock was thinking when he killed all those people. But I don't think the conspiracy theories help. The other thing that I would say is with all of these conspiracy theories that are pretty much flying around the internet, the big question is this. Not only what was he inspired by, but also how do we prevent this from happening in the future? And that's what has a lot of law enforcement agencies absolutely stumped. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, as a matter of fact, because you got a lot of these folks who are experts in security, and they're saying, listen, I spoke to Kathy Hinners about this on Monday, 4 days ago, Kathy and I spoke about this, where it's like, listen, where there is a will, and I hate to say this, but where there is a will, there is a way. And right now, if you look at a lot of these major cities across America, this could happen in any number of cities. I was just talked about how he had a couple of hotel rooms booked over the Lollapalooza Festival in Chicago. So this could happen anywhere. And what they're saying now, and this is a big story, I think it's in USA Today today. The Las Vegas mass shooting where the gunman opened fire on a festival crowd from his 32nd floor window is just the sort of nightmare scenario which is almost impossible to prevent. And that's the problem. The problem is we live with certain freedoms that we are guaranteed under the Constitution. Unfortunately, what that also means is that there are certain risks involved. They say the police in big cities with many high-rise buildings, such as New York, Chicago, Austin, Texas, are seeking to reassure residents they are both safe and okay after what we saw in Las Vegas. But the question is, are we? I mean, one of the biggest descriptions of what happened on Sunday night, Monday morning, is people describe this as a shooting fish in a barrel. And then again, this could have been done anywhere. They're looking at New York, for example. Authorities on high alert for such events as the New Year's Eve Times Square celebration, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, Monday's Columbus Day Parade, and even some Yankees games there in New York. So, yeah, you look at some of these concerts, you look at some of these festivals, you look at any number of events, not only in New York, but around the country, and it would be very easy to take out as many people as you want. They say the only reason why Stephen Paddock stopped shooting, by the way, in case you missed this part, is because he was looking for a way to escape. And realizing that he couldn't escape, he stayed in the room and opened fire some more. Security experts and top cops alike have now been forced to admit that no amount of training and preparation can prevent someone intent on doing harm. Guy David Katz, CEO of Global Security Group, says, listen, they will find a way to do it. Again, where there's a will, there is a way. They say the answer only really is if there is a sniper, there is a counter sniper. Now, this is where the whole conversation of, you know, gun control is going to go. And I spent a bit of time yesterday and the day before talking about this. But when the answer, and again, this is David Katz, CEO of Global Security Group, says the only answer is when there is a sniper, there has to be a counter sniper. Think about this. Think about the fact, and I hate, and I'm not criticizing the police here, but, you know, when the seconds count, the police are minutes away, right? So the people who want to begin to curtail gun rights have to pay attention to that one sentence in this story. The only answer really is if there's a sniper, there's got to be a counter sniper. To me, how I interpreted that comment is he could be talking about the police or he could be talking about any one of us. He says you're not going to be able to deploy police units with sniper capabilities everywhere, he said. There are, at some point, too many things going on, too many opportunities to stop them all. So the question is, okay, so you've got a situation where there is a guy who is either a sniper or he's walking amongst a crowd and he's shooting people indiscriminately. What do you do? Well, if there's a sniper, there's got to be a counter sniper, and that's not always going to be the police. They also speak to the New York Police Department commissioner, a guy by the name of James O'Neill. He says, we do understand that no city or town in this country is completely immune to such unbridled hatred. And unfortunately, we know that that's true. So then the big question is, how in the world do you protect yourself when you're in this kind of a situation? What is it that you're supposed to do if you find yourself in one of these situations? Because let's face it. And I've talked about this quite a number of different times. And that is, if you are in a situation where you are at a concert, and we have concerts here all the time, what is it that you're supposed to do? How is it you're supposed to keep you or your family safe? I will have that answer for you coming up as the afternoon progresses here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. You remember the story that I was telling you about? It's sort of related, but not really. I think this is more of a story about hatred for conservatives and hatred for Republicans and hatred for President Trump's supporters and President Trump, but not necessarily about what happened in Las Vegas. But do you remember the lawyer, the CBS legal executive, Haley Geftman Gold? And she was the one who said on social media that she was not even sympathetic because, quote, country music fans often are Republican gun toters. And so she didn't feel sorry for the victims there in Las Vegas. Do you remember her? This all came down. I mean, it was literally, folks, you remember this, hours after the shooting in Las Vegas on Monday. And I think I even said, you know, I wonder how long before this lawyer, this highfalutin legal executive for CBS, will have her job. And it was only like an hour later that CBS just fired her. Just boom, outright, you're gone. Well, now, apparently she has called the police saying that she has been, quote, harassed online. She's told the New York Police Department that she started getting threats on Facebook when her comments were widely shared on social media. Yeah, I know that this was one of the big stories on Monday. Of course, we heard about this, and in the horrors of what we were finding out on Monday as the death toll and the injury toll continued to rise, this was a story for. I think the reason why this story became so incredibly viral is because we know that there's people on the left who really do feel this way. The outspoken critic of Republicans also, by the way, helped organize a block party for Hillary Clinton last year. So again, this is not necessarily somebody who, this is not a surprising comment. Think about it. In the hours, 24 to 48 hours after the shooting, you've got this woman who made this particular repulsive, repugnant comment on social media. She suffers the consequences that she should. She got fired. But we also have Hillary running around as a mouthpiece and an attack dog for the left. And some liberals are saying that even more reprehensible things regarding Trump supporters, regarding people who are pro-Second Amendment, and it goes on and on. But this is something that happens every single time that we see these kinds of horrific tragedies in America, and it's going to continue. And the more that we have these tragic episodes in America, the more the attacks will continue. There's a lot of conversation that will certainly take place and will continue to take place here in the next weeks and months and certainly years ahead. And that's why we're here. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. But there is the very latest on everything that is going on as far as the investigation into Las Vegas. Coming up, I will also tell you about a White Lives Matter rally that is planned for Tennessee. That is straight ahead here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. 12:26 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show. Hello, hello. I don't know why I'm so fascinated by this North Korea story and how you and I, we here in America, are helping to fund North Korea's nuclear program. I do have that coming up at 12:35 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Yeah, there's going to be a White Lives Matter rally. I think Antifa and some of these folks have to be freaking out about this. Apparently, the White Lives Matter rally is being planned for Shelbyville, whatever it is. That is going to be on Saturday, October 28th in Shelbyville, located an hour southeast of Nashville. So the big question is going to be, will there be any conflict? Will there be any counter demonstrations? We all know what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. So hopefully this will not end up being another Charlottesville, but you never know. You really never know. We do know, we certainly know this here in Nashville, there is an active chapter of Antifa, so we'll have to see what happens. Brad Griffin, who writes under the alias Hunter Wallace on his blog Occidental Descent, announced that the event is being held at the Nationalist Front, a group of organizations that includes the National Socialist Movement, the Traditionalist Worker Party, the League of the South, White Lives Matter, Vanguard America, and a slew of others. And they say that the rally is being held to draw attention to the fatal church shooting last month in Antioch and also to protest the ongoing problem of refugee resettlement here in Middle Tennessee, which is obviously something that we've talked about a lot here on this program and others. So we'll keep you updated on that story as it continues to develop here on WTN. You know, one of the other stories that seems to be just an ongoing conversation, and I don't know why it is that robots continue to be in the news. We had one a couple of days ago. Bell, what was it? Pamela, who has been working in the morning now, it was something about robots and
it was a survey
intimacy
on,
or something.
On how many men would consider using a robot for self-gratification versus how many women, and it was like 23%.
Now, if you're using a robot, that's not self-gratification, but it's like robotic help for gratification. Whatever. Anyway, so yes, I remember that now, and I'm sorry that I asked you because I wanted to leave that alone based on the reaction that I got from that. However, more than 70% of us here in America fear that robots will be taking over our lives. That's right, Belle, we talked about that. And I asked the question, and nobody seemed to understand the way that I was asking the question. The question that I posed was, if a person, because there was another survey a while back, and it said that a lot of men felt that if you utilized a robot even if you were married. See, now people are calling. Stop calling. I'm not going to take calls on this. This is like a road to nowhere. But if you're married and but you have a robot that you utilize for your own pleasure, is that cheating? And, you know, Pamela said, well, if the wife knows, then it's not cheating. And I still kind of contend that it is cheating, because what you're doing is you are going sort of outside of your marriage for some sort of gratification. It's not the same thing as
but
porn.
It's not with anyone.
It's with the robot.
It's a machine.
Yeah, you know what? Phones are, no, don't even answer the phones.
Oh, I'm not.
Because either
it's
one
hard of, enough discussing this with you.
Because one of two things are happening. People are calling with their conspiracy theories on Las Vegas, or they want to chime in on sex with robots. I don't want to talk about either one. With all due respect. And by the way, there is a new Shake Shack. It is in New York, and it is being completely run by robots. And so we'll talk about that story as well coming up here on Super Talk and 99.7 WTN. I want to tell you about it. By the way, if you have any care to comment on the whole robot thing, which, by the way, okay, one last question, Bell, and then I'm going to leave this alone, and I promise I'm going to leave this alone. Have you seen some of the pictures of some of these robots?
Yes.
What is your impression of some of these robots? This isn't like Jane from the Jetsons.
I've dated less emotional women.
Some of these robots, I mean, they really design them to be, you know, very...
Some of them do look very realistic.
Thank you. Very realistic. Very, you know, I mean, is it right to call a robot good looking? I mean, they design these robots so that they can be very attractive. And I'd be willing to bet there's guy robots too, right? So if women...
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, you know what I love about this story is that it's all about guys who are utilizing robots for whatever robotic gratification. I'd be willing to bet there's women that would also use robots.
Well, in that story Pam was talking about, I think the percentage of men that thought it was okay was 23%. And then she said that there was 9% of women who thought it was okay too. So that's a smaller number.
You know what that tells me? You said that 9% of women thought it was okay. That tells me that there's 89% of women that are liars. Totally kidding. It's 12:32. I'm going to time check myself. 12:32 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. On Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show, 615-737-9986. 615-737-WWTN. Got a lot of political news going to be getting into as the afternoon progresses. We have some new numbers on President Trump's approval rating. We've got some new numbers on congressional approval rating. Nothing real surprising, but we'll get into those numbers as well. One of the things that I've been talking about a lot over the past probably year or two is how North Korea exports slavery. Now, basically what happens is there in North Korea, you got Kim Jong-un, of course, and we know that what he does is he will send some of the people there from North Korea, send them to other nations, places like Russia, places like China. And those workers from North Korea will then work in those nations for, you know, lower wages than the Russians, for example. Let's just stick with Russia for now. And so Kim Jong-un will send these North Koreans to Russia to work. Russia gets cheap labor, but a lot of the wages that the people there, the North Koreans, would make in Russia is actually sent back to Kim Jong-un, like 70%. I mean, it's millions and millions of dollars. And so as the story goes, you have some people who are North Korean. They're living in places like Russia, living in places like China, in some deplorable conditions, as a matter of fact. And if they decide that they no longer want to live in these conditions, if they decide that they no longer want their entire paycheck or most of it to go back to Kim Jong-un, then and they try and escape, horrible things happen to their families back in North Korea. You may recall, I've done a couple of interviews on this, and I talk about this all the time because I think, one, it's a horrible story. But it's just another example of how Kim Jong-un, it's all about him. It's all about his family's dynasty, and he doesn't give a rat's you know what about the people of North Korea. And when you look at what happens, and by the way, just so you know, there are some people who say, well, yeah, but the folks there in North Korea, they covet these jobs. And the reason why they covet these jobs is because the economy in North Korea itself is so terrible. So then the question is this. How is it that that story has now turned into this headline? United States and people of America, we are helping to pay for North Korea's nuclear program. Well, here's what's going on. What's happening is there in North Korea, you got all these folks that are going to work in places like China, in places like Russia, and they build things. They manufacture things. Those things that are manufactured by the North Koreans, the exported slavery from North Korea into places like China, into places like Russia, the things that they make are then ending up in America, and we are paying for it. And because we pay for it, that money goes back to Kim Jong-un, and that's how he is paying for his nuclear program. At least according to the Associated Press. At a time, they write, when North Korea is banned from selling almost anything, the country is sending tens of thousands of workers worldwide to bring in an estimated, listen to this, $500 million a year. So this is Kim Jong-un. Ultimately, you know, we can sanction North Korea all we want, but until we can get our arms around this exported slavery, the sanctions aren't going to work. Now, for the record, I'll say it for all of us, President Trump has been talking about this for a long time. The president has been targeting this exported slavery from North Korea for quite some time. So it's good for the Associated Press and the USA Today and all these other folks finally jumping on the bandwagon. But yeah, Trump's been talking about this. $500 million. They say that could account for a sizable portion of North Korea's nuclear weapons and missile programs, which South Korea says have cost more than $1 billion. So let's just say North Korea makes $500 million a year on this exported slavery. And then the goods that they manufacture end up being sold here in America to the tune of $500 million, then that money goes right back to North Korea. So that's how we are paying for North Korea's nuclear program. They say that while North Korean workers have been documented overseas, the Associated Press investigation that came out, I think it was either this morning or last night, reveals that, and by the way, just so you know, the AP has been investigating this for quite some time. The AP investigation reveals that some products they make go to the United States. The AP has also tracked products made by North Korean workers to Canada, Germany, and elsewhere in the European Union. So if something is made in China, and good Lord, we know that there's a lot of things that are made in China that end up here in America, it's a very strong possibility that that was manufactured by North Korean slaves, essentially. In response to the investigation, Senate leaders said Wednesday that the U.S. needs to keep products made by North Koreans out and get China to refuse to hire North Korean workers. Now, that's going to be a huge question. You know, we've always been talking about, we all have been talking about how China needs to do more to curtail their business with North Korea. We know that the Chinese have stopped importing some goods from North Korea and also some exporting as well. Business deal that the Chinese have with North Korea, and some of it China has indeed curtailed. But if China actually stops accepting these exported workers from North Korea, as you can tell from these numbers, this would be huge. But don't forget, what have we been talking about all along? The fact that Russia has been waiting in the wings for a stronger relationship with North Korea. So Kim Jong-un could very easily simply start exporting more workers to Russia if China decided to curtail that. Chuck Schumer, stupid, annoying glasses on the tip of his nose, I'm sure, had this to say. The Trump administration needs to ramp up the pressure on China to crack down on trade with North Korea across the board. Memo to Chuck Schumer, what do you think Trump has been trying to do all along? This has been a mantra for the president for over a year. We've heard about these horrible conditions at Chinese factories. North Korean workers, they're not even allowed to leave their compound without permission. They also have to step from housing to the factories in pairs or groups, and they essentially have what they call minders or escorts. so that they don't leave and try and run away and flee these horrible conditions. They receive a fraction of their salaries, while the rest, as much as 70%, is taken by Kim Jong-un's government. And that is how they pay for the nukes. So what are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about seafood. We're talking about wood flooring. We're talking about sewing garments as well. That's in the Chinese factories. But seafood is one of the things that keeps coming up. They say that American companies are not allowed to import products made by North Korean workers anywhere in the world. And companies doing business with them could face criminal charges for using North Korean workers or materially benefiting from their work. But for the life of me, I can't tell how much this is really watched by the authorities. Meanwhile, they say as many as 100,000 North Koreans continue to work in construction in the Gulf states, shipbuilding in Poland, logging in Russia, and on fishing boats in Uruguay. We know that new UN sanctions bar countries from expanding their North Korean workforce despite the pay and restrictions. The jobs abroad are highly coveted among North Koreans. And again, that tells you all you need to know about the North Korean economy. So, of course, the AP starts looking at individual companies here in America. They say that one importer, the Seafood Fishing Company in Munhall, Pennsylvania, they say that they have cut ties with these companies, and they found out about all of this last summer. They say that seafood can remain in the supply chain for more than a year. So even if some of these companies have cut ties with these Chinese companies that are employing the North Korean workers, the seafood itself could still be out there. Walmart spokesman Mary Lee McGinnis said company officials banned their suppliers from getting seafood processed at some of these plants as well a year ago after an audit revealed potential issues with what they call, quote unquote, migrant workers. But we know that this has been an issue for a long time. So I don't know if it's just because now we have this more out in the open that the companies are now starting to pay attention to this particular problem. But when you look at the fact that in North Korea, these are, as the article pointed out, coveted positions, then the question has to become this. And I hate to say it like this, but I will. So the more that we pressure China to not utilize this program, you're ultimately, are you hurting the North Korean people more than you're helping them? And ultimately, what you're doing is you're trying to curtail Kim Jong-un from paying for his nuclear program. Now, the greater good, obviously, is to curtail Kim Jong-un, well, at least for America. It's better for us to curtail his nuclear program. So to me, it makes far more sense, as bad as I feel for the people of North Korea. And I do feel bad for the people of North Korea. Do I feel bad for Kim Jong-un? No. But the people of North Korea, we know that they're starving and they are stuck and they are brainwashed. I don't know how much of them actually hate America or if a lot of that is just for show so that Kim Jong-un doesn't come out and kidnap and kill their families and turn them into exported slaves. I don't know the answer to that question. By the way, here's a headline for you, just sticking with North Korea for a moment. North Korea could kill 2 million with a nuclear strike. Yep, North Korea could kill up to 2 million people with a nuclear strike on Seoul and Tokyo and injure a further 7.7 million. Now, here's what's interesting. And I talked about this yesterday. Remember, I opened up the show yesterday talking about Rex Tillerson and about how Tillerson did not necessarily deny that he called the president a moron. And all of that emanated from, if I remember correctly, a tweet that the president had sent out stating that the North Koreans, we shouldn't be talking to the North Koreans. You remember all that? And the media was so hyper-focused on the fact that Rex Tillerson may or may not have called the president a moron, which, you know my take on that. I think that the president is, the media is making way too much of this. This kind of dialogue always happens in politics, certainly. Well, how many of the media, how many of them are focusing less on whether or not Tillerson called the president a moron? And are they focusing perhaps maybe on the fact that Americans here in America, you and I, could be helping to fund North Korea's nuclear program? Or the fact that North Korea could kill 2 million people with a nuclear strike? not nearly as sexy as trying to delegitimize and bring down President Trump, which we know that's what the media is trying to do. Because let me tell you something, folks, I search high and low every single day for stories that are different. And so I go to a lot of different websites, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't see these stories really anywhere. You know, usually some of these stories are all over the place. These two were not. Anyway, so yeah, North Korea, they say, could kill a couple of million people. The hypothetical scenario has been analyzed by scholars who made their conclusions amid rising tensions between, of course, North Korea and the U.S. They're saying that should Kim Jong-un decide to unleash his nuclear arsenal, the results would indeed be catastrophic. 2 million people plus 7.7 million injured. This was based on the assumption that Kim Jong-un would launch its entire arsenal of 25 nuclear weapons at Seoul and in Tokyo as well. Seoul, of course, has a population of 24.1 million, Tokyo 37.9 million, and they say the final fatality figures were worked out by taking into consideration the probability of detonation and a number of other items. And so North Korea, even though we've got our own problems and our own stories here in America, certainly with what happened in Las Vegas, we also still have the threat that is constantly North Korea. And President Trump and Rex Tillerson both are focused on a number of different things. Is it just me, man, or has the news just been terrible lately? I mean, it's been hurricane after hurricane. We have yet another hurricane. Is it Hurricane Nate now that is churning out there somewhere? So we got Hurricane Nate that could hit this weekend. We have, of course, what happened in Las Vegas. We have North Korea in the news. We have all these horrible things going on. I do have, and I'll try to get to it in the next hour, I do have some good news to share with you as well. It's all straight ahead right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Fifty-six on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. Hey, coming up in the next hour, all kinds of good stuff for you. Another year, another baffling display of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame possible inductees. We'll go over some of these. Have the Cars become the Susan Lucci of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame possible nominees, inductees, all that kind of stuff? Is it just me or the Cars? It's like every single year the Cars are nominated, but they never get in. So we'll get into the some of those. I don't know most of these bands, and I think it's almost like an ongoing thing about how most people have not heard of these bands. However, when you look at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and you look at some of the nominees, it's not necessarily based on what the fans like. It's based on their influence on other musicians, their influence on music and history and all those other kinds of things. And so we'll get into some of these bands as we continue throughout the afternoon here on WTN. Here's a headline for you. U.S. takes another step towards building Trump's promised border wall. This is so stupid. I appreciate the headline, but these are a couple of prototypes. And once the wall, and the, you know, we'll get into this more as after the news at the top of the hour. But basically what's happening is they're putting up some of these prototypes in a very small area to kind of see what it would look like and see how each individual wall would possibly work. Because you've got all of these different companies that are going to build these prototypes. And so, of course, President Trump and the Trump administration are going to look at these prototypes and ultimately decide which one they're going to use. It's kind of like a test, if you will. Now, even the prototypes are absolutely freaking people out. Now, you know how controversial this has been, right? You know that the companies that have been even bidding on building this wall have been met with protests and boycotts, and it goes on and on and on. And I still contend, by the way, I still contend that this wall will not be built. However, we'll get into that story as well in the next hour. I guess you could say that that's good news. I just think that the headline is very deceiving. And I don't know, just my two cents. I just think that if we're going into a midterm election, if you really think the wall's going to be built, I think you've got another thing coming. There's way too much political correctness here in America. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more. How is President Trump resonating with we, the American people? That story as well. Some new numbers straight ahead right here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.